Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome everybody to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com. This is a Nebraska Cornhusker podcast, and I am one half of your broadcast team. My name is Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, your day-to-day status improves. Last night you were out. Today you're questionable, but I think tomorrow you're going to be good to go.
As they say, everybody's day-to-day usually, so, you know.
We're recording this Wednesday evening, which is a perfect time for Nebraska athletics fans because number one ranked Nebraska volleyball team knocked off number 15 Penn State tonight. Three-set sweep of glorious volleyball action, and naturally I didn't tune in until it was actually 22-21 Penn State, if I'm getting that right. And then Nebraska surged back and won it all to finish off the sweep. And in what Ranch Babe Jill says, particularly the second set was, you know, perhaps never see one team dominate the other in such fashion, and you might never see it again. So the ladies really showed out tonight and got a really impressive victory.
Yeah. That second set was pretty, you know, you look at the stats and yeah, that was pretty solid. Now, Penn State did, you know, I thought Penn State played really well the third set, but it kind of just, what's a good word, snowballed on them?
Yeah, or if you are referencing The Replacements, the classic Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman football film, Quicksand, where everything
is
just kind
of... Yeah, I've never seen that movie, sorry.
Really?
Really.
So you don't certainly you've heard the phrase, I know you're tired, and I know you're hurting, and I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational.
No,
but
I
that
haven't.
Just wouldn't be our style.
I guess I'm a loser. I don't know.
Pain heals, chicks dig scars.
No.
Glory lasts forever.
Not really.
For crying out loud, Brian! In our open, we have the mention of Hart, Gene Hackman. That is from The Replacement, sir.
You know what? I'm sorry.
I don't know what, but I know his brother who.
It's been a really rough day. You know why?
do we want to talk about it? We don't have to talk about it.
Well, first off, I went to the damn ER.
Well, I know that.
Well, the listeners don't.
Okay.
I had to go to the ER yesterday.
Brian went to the ER. And I don't know. This is personal. I don't know how personal we get here on the Five Heart Podcast, but if you want to talk about it, the floor is yours.
So I'm spending the money on that, you know, which I have a little bit of emergency money, but it's like, God dang, you know, nobody wants to get to the ER because two things. One, you sit there forever.
Yeah. One, you're in the ER.
And two, it costs money.
Now,
no matter what your insurance.
Let me ask you this, and this is only slightly related. Down in your neck of the woods, have urgent care facilities popped up quite a bit as an alternative to ERs or no?
No, that's actually a great question.
Okay.
Urgent care visits.
Say that again?
We're considered regular doctor visits for urgent care.
Oh, okay.
Because it's really kind of just a doctor visit. But the one I went to is a... There's no hospital near me. There's a for-profit hospital, but nobody goes there because it's like $1,000 for a clinic, literally. You ever see Murphy's Romance and the one lady's complaining about the bill? That's it. But two, also the nonprofit. You know, the normal nonprofit ones or whatever you call it. Regular hospitals are like...
I don't know about Murphy's Romance, but I watched some Murphy Brown growing up.
Yeah, well, I'm old. You're not.
Well,
so I went to.
I made a
ER,
Murphy Brown reference, man. That's pretty old.
there's a place down the street that's an ER, as in it's a building that's set up as an ER.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the worst place to go. I was more grumpy just because how much it was going to cost, and you know, we're gonna have overtime action. But you get in there and they look at, you know, and to be fair, it's cellulitis, okay? But cellulitis looks really kind of can look like a blood clot. So that's what I'm freaking out about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a blood clot in my leg. So they have to order a Doppler, you know, the stuff that you look at kids at, whatever. You know, it's an ultrasound when you're looking at a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Doppler when you're looking at
a body of a kid. Right.
You know, long story short, sat there for 2.5 hours.
Could have been far worse as far as ER times go.
It's 2.5 hours, and you know, you're just really kind of you're bored because you got to wait on a Doppler, and you know, there wasn't that many people there. I was in one of like three groups that are there, so the whole grand scheme of things, it wasn't that bad. But you had to wait on somebody to come look at your leg, and oh, it's not a blood clot, so we're going to give you stuff that channels staph infection, but it's not a staph infection. You're like, okay, I don't have a staph infection, but you're giving me really bad big medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well, medicine didn't cost that much, but then, this harkens back to Greg's radio days.
Uh-oh, don't do that.
Today, okay, and I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, there's one non-sports radio station I listen to.
Okay. What? Well, wait, let me guess. They play light jazz from the 70s and 80s.
Are you fucking high?
You said non-sport. I was just... I was...
Because there's a billion sports channels down here.
Yeah.
But the one I listened to was it's an alt-rock station.
So, a little less on the Kenny G.
Yeah.
Fine. Be that way.
It's not a great station, but, you know, I'm like, oh, it's better than most of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they changed the format today.
Oh, no.
After, like, 20-something years, I guess.
Did they go to light jazz?
No, you know what they did?
Sports.
They played... No. That's what we need. They played Closing Time by... Semisonic.
Great song.
Like 8 times in a row.
I'm not gonna lie. When back in my DJing days, whether it was the party bus or, you know, like weddings or other events, things like that, I always ended the night with 2 songs. And this was like my MO. And they were the same 2 songs. At the end of every time I DJed, it was AC/DC Shook Me All Night Long, followed by Semisonic's Closing Time. And
then, strippers or what?
No, then the lights went on, and hopefully people left or got off the bus. But come hell or high water, I was packing up my shit and getting out of there.
So they ended that.
Unless they paid for overtime.
And now it's going to be Christmas music till the first of the year. And then it's going to be light rock. But they merged with a certain radio station that does classic rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually live with that station. That's not the worst thing. It's rock, classic rock. So that's not a big deal. The problem is there's a guy that runs a talk show on there. And I'm sure the guy's fine, but he runs a talk show from 3 to 7.
Now, is it a talk show or is he just the DJ?
No, he's a talk show. It's like Imus.
Okay. Oh, God.
It's like local Imus.
Oh, God.
You know, or Stern or...
All right.
I think something like that.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah, without the menthol, you know.
Or without the Hulk Hogan.
But I don't know. No, it doesn't. So therefore, drive time. The music choice. Just, you know, the one channel. I'm like, oh, okay, I can listen to music here because this guy's just nothing but talk for 4 hours. Just took a bullet to the skull.
Now, how do they pull that off? You go from music to talk back to music. That's a very odd.
Well, this guy was a big old AM station guy.
Okay.
And he wanted to be on an FM frequency.
Sure.
And when this channel needed, you know, the listeners,
they brought him over. And
yeah, right. Did it again. Hello.
Oh yeah, makes sense.
So, I don't know. And I'm going to say the one word I know you hate.
Snow.
I'm going to get the Sirius back going, I think.
Oh, I tell you what, I've had two new vehicles in the last just 2.5 years or so, and they both have had the Sirius XM satellite radio, and it's worth it.
Especially if you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
They don't have our podcast on SB Nation Radio, but they should.
No, I've been on SB Nation Radio.
Well, kudos to you.
John Johnson's been on SB Nation Radio.
Well, you guys are awesome. You know who'd be really good on SB Nation Radio?
You?
I was going to say the Cobcast boys.
They would be, but yeah, I don't know if they could swear like they want to. If it's just totally satellite, maybe.
It probably is.
So.
Anyway.
All right, well, let's since we're...
How does 8 and 2 sound?
Seven of our listeners.
How does 8 and 2 sound, Brian?
Sounds like a break-even record that Nebraska has for the year, which a lot of people didn't think was going to happen.
Did at the beginning of the year, or maybe not the beginning of the year, when we got at the end of last season, you know, and all that downtime, not so much about spring practice when we're looking more, you know, internally and evaluating players and things like that. But after last year and the 6-7 finish, did most people look at this schedule and see Oregon, see the Wisconsin and Ohio State, which of course, you know, two of those three kind of came out, I think, as a lot of people might have predicted. But see the schedule and be like, you know, maybe it's not, I mean, not knowing what the West was going to be, you know, Minnesota was a crapshoot. You know, Iowa's yet to be played. Indiana turned out better than, you know, we thought. Northwestern's always a tough game. Would you say that, you know, just gauging your response from the fan base and you know, everybody that you talk to on Twitter and things like that, did they see this kind of season happening, or did they see more of last year?
I think they kind of saw more last year, but I also think that Oregon was a pleasant surprise. And you can say, well, they're not good. Well, when the time they played them, you know, they were actually not too bad.
We didn't know
Fresno State was going to be a 1-9 team.
Right.
We didn't know Oregon would be whatever.
But we also didn't know that Wyoming would be, you know, up until this past weekend, you know, potentially on in a New Year's Eve or New Year's Day bowl game. I mean, they've been playing some really good football and have a strong record.
You know, this is what I say about it. If Nebraska ended up losing any of those games, like the Wyoming one, you know, which fair to argue, was the best looking win of the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they had lost any of the Fresno State game, if they had lost the Oregon game, you know, at the time they were like, you know, Fresno State would have been a hell high water. Oregon, they would have been like, well, you know, they're pretty good. Well, you would have been sitting there now going, I can't believe we lost to this team.
Right.
So I get the point to a fault, but at the same time, I also say, you know, Nebraska's won the games they're supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
The only game they've looked bad is Ohio State.
Right.
And Maryland feels your pain.
Yes. I said it before.
To be fair, Wisconsin, we were just one draw. We were three plays away.
Mm-hmm.
Because who says that Nebraska doesn't lose last week if they beat Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean it's, you know, I think the two loss regular season is probably about where I think I actually had them just losing to Ohio State, but you know I'm very pleased with how my predictions have gone out. But I think I said it on Twitter, but look at UCLA ever since we played them in the bowl game. Look at Oregon ever since we beat them earlier this year. Those are two traditionally strong Pac-12 programs that we kind of broke. So, you know, a feather in our cap, I guess.
Yeah. Nebraska's strength of schedule is 42-ish. Okay. Just a little below Mississippi State, Notre Dame, and Michigan State. Well, you'd rather be 3-7, 4-6, 4-6, or would you rather be 8-2?
I'd rather be 8-2. I'm pretty happy with that.
Exactly. I don't get why people are, you know, I mean, there's teams that have done worse with weaker schedules.
Can we talk about weak schedules for a minute?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just my overall general disdain for this particular team, but there's a top five program this weekend that is going to be hosting the Chattanooga Mocs at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Is that not, I mean, in the middle of November, isn't that a little ridiculous?
Well, I don't think you pay attention then, because all the SEC schools save LSU and Florida will be hosting those type of games.
Right. But
that's what they do. That's what they do. They've done that for the better part of the last 10 years. Because for two reasons. One, they get week two, week three, you're playing conference games, which is not bad. It's good for TV because then it spikes TV a little bit because you're really hit and miss on some non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this year, you know.
You get a rest at the middle of November.
You do. And there's no, you know, would you rather play Fresno State now or play Fresno State the first week of the year? I kind of want to play them now. They're not good. They're not great. They just hired a new head coach.
But Fresno State is not Chattanooga. Chattanooga is, correct me if I'm wrong, an FCS team. I mean, I don't expect Chattanooga to come into Tuscaloosa like North Dakota State did. Although, if that happened, I would shit a brick and cry some serious tears of joy.
I would say this about Tennessee Chattanooga. Let's look at their record real quick.
8-2.
8-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to the FCS playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great idea for them. Because where are your weaknesses? You know, you're gonna find out about yourself a little more than you're gonna find out about in the first round of a, you know, you'd rather find out now than you find out in a couple weeks.
I don't know. I think there can be a little bit more.
Would the game make you happier if it's the third week of September?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
But that's just me. Let's talk, as we mentioned, Nebraska, you know, briefly before getting off to another topic. Nebraska is 8-2. They did pick up a 7-point win this past weekend at home over the Minnesota Golden Gophers in retaining the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy, which nobody ever saw. I'm kind of disappointed. Somebody in the equipment room.
A little bit, huh?
I mean, somebody dropped the ball, and I know we talked about it last week, and you don't care about trophies except for the one that you can win in Indianapolis or the one that you can win after, you know, the playoffs.
I agree. But that being said, it would like to at least know it still exists.
Correct. And
I think a lot of people would want that.
And so. I think the mothership, as we call it, you know, SB Nation, even called out the Huskers a little bit saying, don't you know that there's a trophy at stake here?
So, interesting fact about Mitch Leidner I read today.
Okay. Wednesday. You mean
Mitch
the
first
round first down projection from Todd McShay? Mitch Leidner?
Jesus. Jake Locker weighs high. Mitch Leidner has 5 touchdown passes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's
not having a great year.
No, but here's – I want to look this up so I make sure I'm 1,000% right.
And while you do that, I'm going to also state that we were – you know, I think we talked last week a bit more concerned about the rushing game that Minnesota posed. But at the end of the day, I think that they had 74-ish, 76.
That was like 83 yards.
Hmm?
That was like 83 yards.
in rushing total.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the running backs. I'm thinking.
Yeah, but yeah. Hey, here. Okay, Mitch Leiner has 5 touchdown passes this year.
Fair.
No, it's not. Okay. 4 of them come against Indiana State on September 10th.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't had one since the one he threw against Penn State October 1st.
Okay.
And he hasn't – his biggest day was against Purdue for 230 yards.
I guess I'm failing to understand where you're going with this.
My point is this. I don't get where – I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand how Leitner is this big, nasty weapon.
Well, I think he's been – and I hate to use this word because, you know, so many people wanted to say this about Nebraska – but I think he's been exposed a little bit. Maybe the hype train caught up with him a little too much, and he is underperformed this year. I'm not all those, you know, draft predictions and everything all come out before the season, and he has obviously underperformed, and therefore the mock drafts will have to be altered. Likewise, I mean, unless there is a, you know, NFL team out there that's like, golly gee, we just need a quarterback who's going to give us 6-7 touchdowns through the air most, you know, or it's not going to happen. I mean, he's certainly not a first-round draft pick, and I'm not saying that he's, you know, obviously a better athlete than me because he's doing it and I'm talking about it. But
who was the last Super Bowl winner with a game manager quarterback?
Game manager?
I think it's been a while. I know who I have in my head.
Game manager, as far as not a stellar quarterback, yeah, but just a guy, correct, who's going to...
Yeah.
Can I go back to probably Super Bowl 40? Big Ben's first? Because, I mean, that was only his second year in the league. I don't think he was... And they didn't do a whole lot through the air. I mean, they relied on defense and rush attack.
I would actually say Trent Dilfer.
Oh, so you're going back even a little further.
You know, I think that's fair to say, you know.
All right. I mean, I just.
Because, well, maybe you can argue Peyton last year.
Based on his injuries and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was more of a guy that got, you know, the world, you know, got him with a great play. Roethlisberger, yeah, I can see that.
Well, let's talk about a quarterback we know and love just a little bit more. And he wears upon his chest and back a bright, well, this past Saturday night would have been bright white number 4. I'm trying to be poetic, damn it. Shut up.
No, don't be poetic.
Tommy Armstrong. Big Ten player, the offensive player of the week, just, you know, he's battled through so much. You could see he was in pain in the second half. I'm calling it. I don't care if you say he's 4-star. He's 5-heart.
Here's a question.
Okay.
Here's a question.
All right, carry on.
Is he Big Ten offensive player of the year?
No. He's not. And that's just
Barrett. Barrett?
Probably. If not Barrett, I would like to see how things shake out in Indy. If it's a rematch, honestly, if it's a rematch of Ohio State and Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin wins. And then it might be end up being Corey Clement. And truth be told, after what we saw this past week, if it's a rematch of Michigan and Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin wins. I think Wisconsin is going to end up being the Big Ten champs this year.
No.
Don't think?
Because they're just so flaky when it comes to quarterback play. You know?
But they've been doing better. They've been figuring it out the last few weeks.
They have been figuring out the last few weeks, but guess what? They have a rotating you know, turnstile quarterback.
No, they have a system in place. It's different.
They don't have a system.
They have a system. It's situational.
Oh, God, no, they don't. Situational, my happy fat ass.
Well,
it's Hornibrook till he till dies. Barthes until he screws up. Hornibrook till he screws up. Barthes until he screws up.
I'm just say what you will. I think
what you will.
Touche. I think Wisconsin is going if they it unless you know the bottom falls out on them and they you know shit the bed. In the next 2 weeks, and somehow Nebraska gets in there, I think Wisconsin is going to win the Big Ten championship with an outside chance. With an outside chance of going to the playoffs.
Maybe.
I said outside chance.
Maybe. You know what really does bug me though? Let's say Wisconsin loses, and Nebraska wins went out, and they go to Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people that freak out about Nebraska going against a Michigan or a Ohio City, and it's really amazing to me.
Lack of...
I mean, there's this guy that, you know, I see on Twitter all the time. Are you sure you want to play Michigan? You see what they did to Michigan State? Yeah, I saw what they did to Iowa, and this is a team who lost an FCS school, who lost the who gave up 38 points to a Northwestern offense that couldn't find their ass with two hands and a wall.
With two hands and the wall. I just want to try to blindfold myself and try to find my ass with two hands and a wall.
Yeah, well, that's back next to it, you're going to find it.
Where do you come up with some of this shit?
Talk about.
I mean, if you're talking transitive properties, you know, then by that,
can Nebraska play worse than they played against Columbus?
No.
No.
But if by that, let's say Nebraska and Michigan both end up in Indianapolis, by the transitive property, if Nebraska beats Iowa by 2 points or more, then Nebraska beats Michigan. I mean, you still got to go out and play the game, regardless of who's out there. You know, I don't know. We got a ways to go. I like. And I think you're the same way, one game at a time.
Maybe we need to talk about Maryland.
Yeah, but are we done talking about Minnesota?
Yes. Because we got to hope on them to beat Wisconsin, and I don't think they can beat anybody anymore this year. So let's talk about a Minnesota team that started off winning their first four.
Wait, are we talking Minnesota or Maryland?
Maryland. Okay, won their first four.
Which ugly-ass uniform are they going to bring to Lincoln this weekend?
They're the road team, so they're going to be white.
All right. You're
definitely. Well,
are you sure they're not going to bring, like, you know, their flag one?
No, they're not the home team. They can't wear that stuff.
Okay, but they could wear like a white jersey with the flag shoulder area, whatever. All right, fine.
Yeah.
What about the helmets? Helmets are ugly.
Who gives a rat's ass?
I don't care. 11 o'clock kickoff.
11 a.m.
That's
Central.
Sucks. That sucks.
Noon for your Easterners.
I'm still in the Central Time Zone, Dick.
7 a.m. for those in Honolulu.
Honolulu.
I have a friend who watched the game from Honolulu.
Hallelujah. So Maryland has they've been up and down. You know, they'll play really well and then look like shit. And not like Nebraska. Nebraska's been somewhat consistent this year. As high as they climbed in the rankings, I would still call it consistently above average, but not great. But Maryland has not been there, so what can we expect from the Terps?
Well, Perry Hills is the quarterback. I called him Perry Ellis the other day. I don't know why the hell I did that, but
Perry Mason. Now that's a deep cut.
When they, you know, they've lost their last two games.
Inspector Gadget theme?
They've lost five of the last six, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the only game they won there is Michigan State.
Illinois beat Michigan State. So.
And that game was actually pretty close. Closer than you think.
But Illinois beat Michigan State.
They've lost their last two games by a combined one 21-6.
They lost to Ohio State by the same score that Nebraska lost to Ohio State, 62-3.
And the previous week they lost to Michigan, 59-3.
I mean, the East part of the conference is pretty tough. You got Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. And if little brother could figure out, you know, pull its head out of its ass, you know, like it was last year, you know, it seems like half of that division's really good, but then the other half is, you know, like Rutgers, you know, and Rutgers really brings down, you know, Rutgers and Purdue, they really bring down the rest of the conference or the rest of the division.
Indiana's really schizophrenic.
They are. And Purdue has been, but Purdue's been better since they let Hazel go.
Yeah, they've been better, but they have, you know, if I saw something right, the first half of the last three games, they've outscored their opponent by a point, and then the second half they've been just tomahawked. So, you know, it's not like Maryland was setting the world on fire in the first four.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Howard. Okay. They beat Florida International, fired their head coach. They went 2 overtime with Central Florida. You know, that's back when Central Florida really wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kicked the snot out of Purdue.
And that was the week before Hazel got fired? Right? Because didn't they go to Illinois and they won and then he got fired?
They went to Illinois, won. And then the next week is when Maryland hung it off. He got fired that Monday, because okay. Right before Nebraska's game.
All right.
They lost to Minnesota 31-10. Beat Michigan State, lost to Indiana. They did put 36 on Indiana.
What kind of score do we need to see on Saturday for Nebraska fans to feel really good heading into Thanksgiving week?
I think Nebraska needs to put up like 30.
Does it need to be a 3-score game? Do they need to have that cushion?
I think Iowa's defense is a lot better than people give them credit for.
I mean, just look what they did at the same time, to Michigan, which didn't help itself out.
I also think that, you know, let's say Tommy doesn't go and Riker goes. You know, there needs to be a little bit of confidence that Riker can actually not turn the ball over every other
pass.
Pass, touch, snap.
Can we get a center who's not going to get pancaked by a linebacker?
Maybe, hopefully.
Let's just hope it was an injury thing and not a, you know, not a serious. I mean, not just a boneheaded day for him, because he's had some really good games this year. I thought. I wanna anybody who. Auctioneer.
You want to know why this podcast lasts an hour, folks? Not me.
It's Greg Mahochko. I want to bring your attention briefly to anybody who likes us on Facebook. Who, and by the way, if you don't like us on Facebook, like us on Facebook. Five Heart Podcast. You'll recognize our stylized monkey throwing the bones. But on, of course, you can follow. But I had a conversation last week during the Minnesota game towards the end where a buddy of mine was saying, you know, we're kind of due for a turnover. And I asked him, I said, all right, you know, who's going to get it? And he thought it was going to be Nate Gary. And I said, I'm saying Williams. And that was just about the time that Aaron Williams deflected and Kieran Williams picked off the pass that help Nebraska seal the victory. So I've done that a few times in my life. It happened years ago when Troy Polamalu picked off a pass for the Steelers. That was nice. You're welcome, Husker fans. You're welcome. I'll try to use my talents only for the forces of good.
Oh, obviously not being used on Sundays.
No, they're not. No, I didn't even know that game was being televised until it was midway through the third quarter. I turned it on and that was that. Let's see. Predictions will be published on Coronation later today as you're listening to this Friday. Just a reminder to subscribe to this podcast. You can do it via iTunes, or you can get it from the link every week when it publishes, coronation.com. What else? Senior Day this week for all the seniors. Senior Day. And we've got just a bunch of seniors that, you know, despite the fact that we get frustrated as fans, you know, sometimes we do appreciate their contributions to the Husker program and wish them well wherever they go, unless they end up on the Cleveland Browns. Then we apologize to them and know that the CFL probably will be a better option than Cleveland. After this year, maybe between the times in the weeks between the end of the regular season and the bowl game, Brian, maybe we'll talk about the senior class a little bit and share some memories. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know. But that's going to do it for us because it's late and we've talked too much. And by we, I mean me. So my name is Greg Mahochko. His name is
Brian or something like that.
Throw us a follow on Twitter, the number 5 Heart Podcast. It's all the number 5 is the only number in there, and then Heart Podcast. He is Brian R. Toll, T-O-W-L-E. I am at TheHooch36. And, of course, our benefactors, if you will, at Corn Nation. And be looking for more goodies from Coronation every day. And remember that when it comes to heart, 5 heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.